What's up, everybody? It's December 23rd, which means I'm just sneaking this in right before Christmas and the holiday. This is actually my last day of work before I take a bit of time off. So you can listen to this on your drive home to see your family, or nobody's going to listen to this, and you'll pick up in January when the show comes back. Okay, I want to talk about something I listened to the other day. So yesterday, you know how it is around the holiday. So often you are incredibly busy trying to get ready for the holiday that it doesn't even feel like a holiday. So I'm doing all of these errands. Like, I have to get the car cleaned. I have to go to the mall. I have to do some stocking stuffer type stuff. I have to do grocery shopping. So one thing I like to do when I'm by myself is I just put in earbuds and I listen to podcasts, especially like if you're going to Kroger or the grocery store. Yeah, I mean, it makes it a lot more enjoyable if you're by yourself. Just listen to your favorite podcast. So I'm listening to the Tim Ferriss show, and I think it was like a live show they did. And he had two people on. He had Josh Waitzkin, who was like a chess prodigy. He was the subject of Searching for Bobby Fischer. If you've ever seen that movie, it's really, really good. If you haven't, it's one of my favorites. But he also had an investor. I'm not familiar with him, but he seems to be incredibly well-known and accomplished. His name is Adam Robinson. Anyways, he said one thing in this podcast that really stuck with me, and it made me think about how it applies to our world. I'm paraphrasing here, but he was asked something along the lines of, what do you do differently than everybody else that makes you so successful? And he brought up this concept of where the gold mine is. When you're searching for gold, you need to focus on the things that don't make sense. I thought that was really interesting. And of course, he spoke it much more eloquently than I did, but he said, track down and pay close attention to the things that don't make sense. And he provided a couple of examples. One was somebody remarking to him about the price of gold plummeting and how it doesn't make any sense, and he doesn't understand why it's going down when it should be going up. And he said he's learned to get to the point where when somebody says that, something's off. And if somebody says that, it makes no sense that it's going down when it should be going up, then that means it's going to go that much further down. Because the fact that it doesn't make sense for anyone means your mental model of this thing is completely off base. He gave another example of the rise of Trump, how nobody could understand it. It made no sense. And that's why every single analyst was saying, oh, there's no way he'll be the nominee. There's no way he can beat Hillary. There's no way he'll be president. And every single time they were wrong. It didn't make sense, which means you need to pay close attention to it. He gave a third example. I'm trying to remember this one. It was something related to he was reading the paper and saw that a Starbucks was opening somewhere in China, or maybe it was Mongolia right next to it. And he thought to himself, that doesn't make sense. Why is a Starbucks opening there? And what he did was he actually flew out here to figure it out because it didn't make sense. So he flies out there, and what he discovers is that they had begun mining out there, and it was the beginning of the huge infrastructure boom for China. So the whole moral of the story was give an incredible amount of attention to the things in your field that don't make sense. And I was thinking about how, from the perspective of our world, this, you know, is exactly the same thing. We're not focusing on vesting here, but we're focusing on better coding practices, better open source, better tooling, better frameworks. And when you think about, let's consider Laravel. Why is Laravel so popular? Obviously, there's a number of reasons behind it. I think Taylor is better at branding and promotion in that way than just about any other open source organizer I've ever seen. And then, of course, the tooling itself is really good. But one thing I have noticed, and I think he would fully agree with this, is that so much of the key components in Laravel and the ecosystem that surrounds it is taking something that's overly complex, something that just doesn't make sense to most people, and wrapping it up and making it so that it does make sense to everyone else. And a good exercise is just think about the tools or the things you encounter as you build a typical application. And there are certain areas that are incredibly complex and unnecessarily complex. And maybe that means this is a really good entry point for you to step in and figure out how to wrap this thing so that it makes sense for the next person. Because remember, the idea, it's amazing that this is a confrontational thing to say, but the idea that things should be simpler, many people take offense at. I've had countless conversations on Twitter where people basically imply that it needs to be hard. As they would say, this is what we do for a living. It should be hard. This is hard stuff we're doing. So stop whining. Stop complaining that it should be easier. That's the argument. And I feel like, and I've said this before, I feel like they fundamentally just don't get it. The goal is never for it to be hard just because that's how it should be because we're programmers. Never in history has that been the case. Nobody's ever said the beauty in this is the complexity. No, the beauty in this tool, the beauty in this equation is its simplicity. The beauty of a circle is its simplicity. It's never the complexity. So if you think about Laravel, think of its routing component, how easy that is to use versus maybe doing it manually, which is awful if you have to do it by yourself and handle all of that stuff. Think about the scheduler component. Dealing with cron jobs is always a big pain in the butt. If you want to say, twice a day, I want to trigger this bit of logic. Well, before the scheduler component, yeah, you'd have to create a class, and then you'd have to figure out like what cron sequence, like star, 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 what exactly should you type there to get it to run, and then making sure that works is another thing. It's too complicated, and it doesn't make sense. And once it does make sense to you, 6 months later, when you come back and you have to add another cron job, you've forgotten it. And again, it doesn't make sense. But the scheduler component, no matter when you come back to it, it will make sense because it's clear. Think about Laravel Elixir, or it's now called Laravel Mix. It's the exact same thing. Just about all of us, when we start a new project, you'd like to be able to use some of the new ES2015 syntax for JavaScript. You'd probably like to use Sass. You might want to version your files. You might need to minify a file. You might need to extract vendor libraries. You know, this is basic stuff that just about every application requires. But what you're left with is admittedly incredible tooling, like Webpack or Gulp, but tooling that is incredibly difficult to use. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. And the folks who would say, oh, it's not that hard to set up, it's not that hard because you've learned how to do it. But you always have to put yourself in the mindset of somebody who is new to this. And they just want to do the basics, but now they're having to read through these very complex guides to figure out, okay, what is entry? What do I put for output? What is code splitting? What is this plugin that I have to use just to extract Sass into a file? It's unnecessarily complex. And so that's what Laravel Mix tries to fix. It turns it into simple method calls, mix.sass, mix.version. It's the simplest possible wrapper and representation of what you're actually trying to do. So these are all examples of taking something, again, that doesn't make sense and wrapping it up so that it does make sense for the rest of us. And this is hard stuff because usually, if you're the person wrapping this thing up, this concept up, it means you're going to go through all of the crap. You're going to go through all of the work of figuring out how it works so that you can wrap it up and make it presentable to the rest of the world. But you are the one who has to slog through it. You have to figure it out. But I'm telling you, it's so, so worth it. So if you're ever in this position of thinking, I would like to help out, I would like to contribute, but I don't know what to build. This question comes up all the time. I want to work on projects, but I wouldn't know what to build. Well, maybe a really good entry point or thought process is, what doesn't make sense in our field? What is unnecessarily complex? And once you identify that, your job is, how can you make it not complex for me? And with that, I'm signing off, and I will see you in 2017. See you later.